May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 643. Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine. Dear Father, let thy presence be enjoyed by all thy family, and make each face to shine. Hymn 643.
Thank you. to read this evening in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll also read afterwards a few verses in Peter's epistle, chapter 2. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thou thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If we call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. We will turn to read a few verses in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2. And we'll commence reading verse 18. One Peter 2, from verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May God bless the reading of his word and help us now in prayer. We seek thy gracious, merciful help, O Lord God Almighty, as we gather this evening in thy house for worship. Oh, we do beseech thee for thy gracious presence here, and that we may be under the influence of grace, that precious faith will be given us, faith will exercise, and that we may be those true worshippers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh, we do ask this evening that thy name may be glorified, and that we may have been able to exalt thee in our hearts, and Lord, that thou have all the praise and all the honour in our time of worship. May it be that no man is seen save Jesus only. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou guide us into all truth. Open up unto us the scriptures, we pray, as thou didst thy beloved disciples, especially as we read of those two on that Emmaus road. And do show us in the scriptures those things concerning thyself. Lord, we do pray that thou hast grant that we might believe on thee, and that we may be brought by grace to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. O Lord, do come. May there be those hearts touched this evening. May our hearts be warmed with that heavenly heat. May we be drawn nigh. They might know thee as our Saviour and our Redeemer, not a God that is far off, but a God that is nigh through Jesus Christ. Come and bless us, we pray. We want the best of blessings, even those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do feed our souls, we pray, with the bread of heaven. Nourish us, build us up, we pray, in the things of grace. And may we be fed with that sincere milk of the word. Oh, that thy precious word may be life and power to us, that, Lord, we might hear thy voice in it. And we pray this evening, Lord, oh, that there might be those who are brought to hear thy voice, and those who gain instruction, spiritual instruction, instruction for their pathways as they come here this evening. But Lord, our one desire, we would see Jesus. Lord, what is our meeting without this? Or what is all our profession without this? What is all our life without this? We pray then, come to us. Visit us with thy salvation. May longing souls find thee. Oh, may there be, Lord, that meeting between thee and them. May it be that this place is Bethel, the house of God. And often the friends may find it a Bethel to them, and here feed beneath this vine. Come bless, we pray then, bless us this evening, and bless the provision of thy house. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for thy house. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for thy day. We thank thee for the assembly of the saints. Oh, we thank thee that we live in a gospel day, and there yet is room, not only before thy throne of grace, but room in thy kingdom. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be, even this evening, that entering in. Oh, we do pray that we may find thee and know thee and enter whilst there's room. Come, Lord, bless souls. Oh, we ask there might be something done by thee. And we do, Lord, pray for this people And if there be any particular need, in a particular case, Lord, do answer. Do not send any empty away. Forgive us our sins, we pray. O Lord, thou knowest we are ever in need of mercy. Forgive us the sins of this day. Wash us and cleanse us from our sins. We do pray, Lord, that we may realize our sins forgiven, our iniquities pardoned, and that peace with thee. We pray that thou remember any not able to be here, and if there be any in sickness, do remember. Afflicted friends, remember. Those who have lost loved ones, remember. Lord, hold and help. As we know, Lord, there are burdens and trials in this lower world. And do go before us, we pray, in the unknown way. And Lord, do shine, we ask, on thy Zion. Remember thy saints. Remember, Lord, the churches, and have mercy, we do pray, upon us. Oh, we do ask for the furtherance of the gospel. We pray thy kingdom might come, and that in every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, thou have a people, and that thy word may go forth, that the glory of the Lord may cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Have mercy upon England, our United Kingdom. Do pray that thou deliver us from evil. Appoint over us a leader that would be most suitable. We would pray and open our mouth wider than this and ask that thou wilt give us leaders that fear thee. And have mercy upon us, O Lord, how much we've departed from the truth of thy word, and therefore we are in confusion in so many respects. God, be merciful unto us. Do deliver this land from evil. Remember the rising generation, Lord, and all the evils that abound. And indeed, as we may find in the schools or in the workplaces, Lord, we need so much help. Do give, Lord, that grace which is sufficient for our present day. And do hear prayer to overturn evil. Lord, do yet raise up preachers to preach the gospel. May there be those constrained to hear it. Make it possible, Lord. Thou canst cause that thy word may be more publicly heard, and thou canst also constrain others, Lord, who have never yet heard the truth, to enter into the houses of God and hear it. Have mercy then, we pray. And Lord, do shine upon our country yet, to shed thy spirit upon us and upon the nation of the world. And Lord, as we see those various events unfolding in the earth, we know that thou art God over all. But our prayer is that thou wilt, Lord, yet have mercy, and that we might see a harvest and a gathering in. Pray for thy ancient people, the Jews. Open their blind eyes. Or may it be, as we read in thy word, and so all Israel shall be saved, that thou, Lord, deliver them from their present unbelief. And we do then ask truly that we may see, Lord, yet more of thy glory and power in the earth. But make us ready for thy eternal kingdom. For we know the kingdoms of this world are passing away, and they must give place to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray to be made meet for that kingdom. Pray thus, wash us in thy precious blood, take our sins away, for there can enter into that place nothing that defileth. But Lord, do make us ready. Do deliver us from every false hope. And if there be any amongst us this evening that may be building on any false foundation, deliver us from it, we pray. Oh, we do ask, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt make us as poor sinners to know thyself as our only refuge, our only foundation for time and eternity. So have mercy upon us. Do prepare us against that day, Lord, that great day of eternity. And now then, Lord, we pray for help this evening as we will turn to thy word. Oh, do shine upon the scriptures. Guide us by thy spirit in speaking as well as in hearing. May thy word not return to thee void, but may we, Lord, hear thy voice. May we be led into all truth. Come and help us, we plead, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 971. Jesus, we our cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Naked, poor, despised, forsaken, thou from hence our all shalt be. Hymn 971. Thank you.
as the Lord is pleased to help us this evening, we will turn to a word in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and it is particularly verses 21 to 25. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. We have the truth before us that those who are called by grace and are favoured to hear the shepherd's voice calling them out of this world and into his fold, and favoured as such to believe on his name to life eternal, are also called to suffer with him. And a part of this following of the Lord Jesus is the following of the Master through the path of suffering. For of course we must follow him as respect his gracious teaching, the word of the gospel. Yes, when he says, follow me, he's speaking to us concerning the doctrine of the gospel. But also, are we to follow him in his example and by the way he has taken in that path of suffering? For it is given us on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer with him. And as soon as we are followers of Christ, there is a taking up of our cross and following after him. There is the reproach of Christ. And you see, we are following this one who is all holiness, who is completely true, who is the Lord our righteousness. And as our Master then, who was so afflicted and tormented by the fiery darts of Satan, and wicked and unbelieving men, so we see that we are called to endure the same. For Jesus said, if they have done these things in a green tree, they will do it in the dry. The servant is not above his Lord. Now, Christ is set as a pattern, an example that ye should follow his steps. And really the example before us is the path of love and humility. Oh, what Jesus did, how good he was. And dear friends, we cannot in ourselves be compared to him. No, because he alone is the perfect, the holy, the undefiled Son of God. You know, in him is light, and there is no darkness at all. He never said a wrong word, never did a wrong deed. You see, who did no sin. And our salvation rests upon this, because if Jesus had committed one transgression, he could never have been the saviour of sinners. And moreover, God would cease to be God. He would be a transgressor of his own law. But blessed be his name, he did no sin. And you see, in our God is no iniquity, no wickedness. No, he is perfect, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And this is a favour, isn't it? Because what he has spoken in this world is faithful and true. You know, we read in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we read, you see, in the hearing of that voice, in the fourth verse, how they know that voice. They know his voice. I tell you why, because they receive the voice of Christ as the voice of the truth. There's so many voices in this world. There's the voice of unbelief in our own hearts. There's the voice of Satan, which we may hear at times in our mind, or indeed the darts of the adversary against us. But the voice of Jesus is true. He alone came to speak the truth, to show us the truth of that glorious salvation that has been provided for sinners. And how that salvation is all bound up in himself, how he spoke of himself, you see, as I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life. All they said, your testimony is not true, for thou speakest of thyself. He said that the Father bore witness also, and all things that he spoke, it had been given him of his Father. You see, he bore witness of himself, and his witness was true. And this is the gospel that we preach, dear friends, to all men. This is what Jesus is. It is the truth as the truth is in him. And you see, in his mouth is no guile. Oh, his speech shall drop as the rain. His doctrine shall drop as the rain. His speech shall distill as the dew. There's no guile. There's no deceit in the mouth of the good shepherd. There are many deceivers Jesus spoke of. We read of it in John 10. Many deceivers that have come before in his name. Many deceivers that may come afterwards. But Jesus and Jesus only is the truth. Every other voice leads astray, leads into paths of destruction. But Jesus alone is the good shepherd, who guides us by the truth into the path of righteousness for his blessed name's sake. And whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed, or they will find the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, to be a sure foundation for their poor, never dying soul. So it's a wonderful truth, you know, everything we read in the gospel, everything Jesus spoke was absolutely true. There's no guile found in his mouth. And though he spake of himself, He came to save sinners. You see, he came into the world to save sinners. So who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And as regards those about him, why, he never transgressed the law in this respect, to love thy neighbour as thyself. No, never speaking untruth to any soul. No, never transgressing against any. And so we read moreover of the sweetness of his mouth. His mouth is most sweet, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, many reviled the Lord Jesus, which word speaks of abusive language. They railed on him. I think we read some of it in John 10. They said he had a devil. We read of that in a number of places. Thou art a Samaritan, thou hast a devil, thou castest out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. But Jesus, how did he reply? It was in the simplicity of these words, I have no devil. And again, another accusation levelled at him. There was that he was a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus replied that wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, the wise, they will understand. Wisdom's children, my beloved people, they will understand and testify to the truth. Indeed, yes, it was those poor publicans and sinners, wasn't it? They knew he wasn't the one that the Pharisees and scribes are making him out to be. No, he was the friend of publicans and sinners, because he had come to save them from their sins. But you see, in every hard word, every reviling, he reviled not again. As he was on the cross, and they reviled him, wagging their heads, mocking him, saying that he could in no wise come down from the cross. If he was a son of God, let him come down from the cross. But you see, he answered them not. No, we have it in the Proverbs, answer not a fool according to his folly. It was useless. But more than that, of course, he was there for a purpose, wasn't he? As we go on, and we will speak of it, it was to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. But just before we come there, when he suffered, he threatened not. No threatening words. Though he had all power, indeed, to do them harm, though he could have called on his Father, and that legion of angels be sent, he used no threatening words. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And this is the example Christ has left us. You see, he committed his cause to his Father. He knew he had a Holy Father in heaven who had appointed him this cup that he must drink he had received a commandment of his father. It was to lay down his life for his sheep. He must pass this way. And all these revilings he committed unto God. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The point is this, you see, the Lord knows all things, doesn't he? He is the judge, and he alone, he is the judge of all the earth, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, better to leave our troubles at God's judgment seat than to in any wise take matters into our own hands. No, dear friends, it is God's to judge, and we are exhorted not to do so. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, not to avenge ourselves, or to say, I will do unto him as he hath done unto me. Now, the Lord Jesus, in the judgment hall, he did make his defence. You see, he made it very plain when they asked him who he was, which was the ultimate accusation, that he blasphemed in saying that he was God. He told them plainly, I am he. And that they would see, one day he would come in the clouds of heaven with great glory. Yes, he spoke the truth. He made his defence. But the point of our text is this. He never reviled. He never threatened, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now there was a purpose, moreover, why we read in the judgment hall that Jesus opened not his mouth. A special purpose, peculiar to Christ. And it was because he was the Lamb of God that had come to take away the sin of the world. And therefore, our sins, the sins of all his people, were laid upon Christ. Because he became sin for us, because he, in his own person, became guilty, taking our place, therefore, he could not answer. He did not answer. He must bear our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, though righteous himself, he had come to lay down his life for his sheep. And therefore, we must view him as that lamb, as that one afflicted, that one upon whom is laid the iniquity of us all, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now what a mercy, dear friends, that we have such a Saviour. And the purpose of that one offering was that transgression may be forgiven and iniquities pardoned, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And he ends in this way, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now we've spoken of the afflictions, the sufferings of the Lord's beloved people at the hands of the devil and unbelievers, the hearts of men. But we must not forget what we were. We want to just come to this. What is the difference? What is the difference? And who made thee to differ? Yes, before we begin to think ill of transgressors, who made thee to differ? For ye were as sheep going astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We have to remember this. You were once in this way, weren't you? Enmity to God, dead in trespasses and in sins, hateful and hating one another, until the grace of God appeared. Until you heard the voice of everlasting love and mercy in your heart, you were a sheep going astray. And what was it that made you different? You heard the shepherd's voice. The Lord had mercy on you. You heard the voice of truth. You heard the voice of wisdom. You heard the voice of righteousness. You heard the voice of love. You heard the voice of mercy. And you had to return to God. You had to come to Christ with your sin and confess your sin. And you see, we are to remember this because we are not to forget we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. For ye were as sheep going astray. You know, there were those two on the cross, either side of Jesus, both reviled and railed on him. Two thieves, condemned to die. Oh, what blasphemies they spoke. But God had mercy upon one, so that he realized his condemnation. And he realized that Christ, that one in the midst, was the Blessed One, his only hope. He believed him to be the Christ. This man hath done nothing amiss. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. And by that, he was returning unto the shepherd and bishop of his soul. Paul was the same, wasn't he? Think of all that he did in the Church of God, causing havoc, destroying the sheep, going astray himself, until called by grace, he then returned unto the shepherd. Well, we are to be humbled unto this truth. What a mercy if we have heard his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the reason we speak of this is because it bears on what we've said already. We ought to pity those who are transgressors, those who hate our Lord Jesus and hate us for Christ's sake, because ye were a sheep going astray. The Lord Jesus taught, didn't he, that Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Why, he is merciful. That is the point, isn't it? Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember how he loved you when you were enemies in your mind with wicked works. For sure, God did not set his love upon us when we were good. He saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. Such is the love of God, the love of Christ. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Have you tasted that love? It's unconditional. It's not on account of what we were or would be. Even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know ye were this, your sheep going astray. But he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. What love then, on my such love my soul still ponder. Oh, what love. What love the Father has shown us. What love the Son has shown us. And what love he still shows us. You see, because how he puts up with our faults and our follies, still comes to seek and to save us, deliver us, redeem us, call us out of darkness. And it's all free grace, for ye were as sheep going astray. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't cease to pray for his sheep, does he? Peter was a wayward sheep at one time. Jesus knew that Peter would fall. Because, you see, Peter had weaknesses, as all of us do. And though his sin in denying the Lord Jesus was base indeed, Jesus never ceased to pray for him. He says, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. That's the heart of Christ. He loves his children. And the point is this, the love of God, it works consistently in the face of every fault and every folly in us. It comes over everything that we are. It doesn't change with our changes. And so this very much then instructs us of how we should think of those to whom we suffer. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. What a mercy, dear friends, if we have known that returning. You see, the word bishop means an overseer. He's one who watches over us, one who takes care of us. Speaks of the security of the everlasting covenant, the security of being found in the hands of the good shepherd. He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And he says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, the one who keeps. And therefore, to consider the everlasting love of God. And therefore to follow his example. When he was reviled, revile not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And just a few more thoughts then concerning this 24th verse. Now here is the substance of our salvation. Here is the power of our salvation. This is that which has saved us, redeemed us, restored us. It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose stripes, whose wounds ye are healed. What amazing grace. His affliction was our affliction. Indeed, those stripes laid upon Christ and those wounds he endured in hands and feet and side, as well as all the darts of the evil one and the sharp tongues of men and the sorrow of soul that he endured, by all those stripes, the whole affliction wherewith he was afflicted, are we healed. This is the secret. This is why we have been made as those returning, have returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. You see, who makes it a differ? The blood of Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus said he was the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We must speak then a little of the wounds of Jesus. That precious blood of Jesus. There is the healing. There is the balm for all our sins. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. There is a Saviour in Israel, Jesus Christ. There's a fountain that has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. And if we wash therein, we'll be made perfectly whole. We'll be healed of our disease, that leprosy of sin, when every issue, every awful consequence of the fall, oh, we have our transgressions forgiven, iniquities pardoned, yes, and our whole malady healed. Because whom the Lord forgives, he restores, he delivers. You know, we, by nature, as enmity with God, we're really living under a great plague. And we are drinking those bitter waters of sin. And we can honestly say that those who live at enmity with God, they are unhappy souls. But what a mercy if we've been healed, by whose stripes ye were healed. This is the secret then of our salvation. It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are directed to go again and again in our sinnership. Here we are directed to return. The Lord says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord his God, and he will abundantly pardon. For the Lord does forgive. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? By whose stripes ye were healed. And healed for this purpose, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Now that is the end, isn't it, to which the Lord has healed us. And that is what he means when does Jesus say to his sheep, follow me. He says, leave those hateful, deceitful, dark paths of sin and follow me in the paths of righteousness. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you see, as we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost, washed in the precious blood of Jesus, given that precious faith and looked to Christ, so are we those who live unto righteousness. It's not possible ourselves, but the remedy is in this 24th verse, you see. His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. To live unto righteousness is to live to God's glory. To live to the glory of the Lord our righteousness, who hath redeemed us from hell. And to live unto righteousness is to walk in his word, his will. And it's to live to his glory, to glorify God in our soul and in our body, which are his. That is the purpose, isn't it? To redeem a people from iniquity. And it's a people zealous of good works, that they should live unto righteousness. And really that righteousness is seen as we possess the everlasting love of God in our souls, and able to love the Lord our God and our neighbours ourself. Oh, to be walking in those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus alone can lead you in that path of love. Oh, we love him because he first loved us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We can live in that love. Oh, that love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The Lord Jesus said, "Hereby shall you be known to be my disciples if you have love one to another." That is righteousness. That really is. But we don't have that ourselves. We need to go again and again to this same Jesus who bore our wretchedness away, the wickedness, the darkness of our hearts. Go to his stripes to be healed of all that's hateful and wrong in your heart, and find there the remedy that we should live unto righteousness. Now this is his will for us. Let us never be tempted that there is some allowance in God's will for sin or transgression. Not at all. You know, he died to put away sin, that we should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Now, the Lord our Saviour is the Lord our righteousness. And it's only as we look to him that we can in any wise live unto righteousness. We need to have our eye fixed upon the Saviour. Though the moral law is a perfect standard of righteousness, though it shows us what is good and right, it is not the power of righteousness. You cannot obtain righteousness there. You can only find righteousness in the Saviour. In his cross, looking to his name. That is what the Lord has done. Calling us out of darkness, death. And he says, "Now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Now you do have a shepherd. If you're those that have been called, you do have a shepherd. He will not leave you in this world, not leave you orphans. You have a guide. He says, "I will instruct thee, and I will teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He will show thee where thou shalt go, what thou shalt do in all things, in the things of providence. As you pray, as you seek him, you can watch his hand. What is the Lord doing? The things he might answer. The doors he might open, the doors he might close, the things that he might speak to you from his word, into your heart, and to hear his good spirit speaking. You have a shepherd, you see. Listen to him. Oh, may God help us to hear his voice. And as regards your soul salvation, you see, this is the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You know, you have one whom you may follow, who will lead you in the path of righteousness. And here you have a perfect rule of righteousness, don't you? Jesus says, "Follow me." That's it. That's the way. You see, we're not left without a guide in this world. And he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, he is this true shepherd and bishop. And that one into whose hands we may commit the keeping of our souls. You see, they're in good hands if they're in his hands. And we read again, you see, in John 10, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. You know, we can't keep ourselves for a moment, can we? We cannot keep ourselves from Satan. We cannot keep ourselves from sin. But he can keep us. And this is where we need to commit our souls into the hands of the Good Shepherd. Lord, keep me. Lord, help me. And of course, we must commit our whole salvation into his hands. Well, how can we keep ourselves in the way of faith? In that path that leads to heaven. If we were left to ourselves, we would immediately go astray. We would make shipwreck. We would go right back. But you know, we have a faithful God. All this shepherd and bishop of our souls who says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who once he loves, he never leaves, but loves him to the end. We may then commit the keeping of our souls to him. And may we then be enabled to trust his wise counsel, to shelter under his wise, gracious protection. Because as it is the shepherd's office, to feed and to lead, so it is to keep. And here is that refuge, that rock. Here is that shelter for time and eternity. For you were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. It's that great shepherd of the sheep, isn't it? Who through the everlasting covenant has laid down his life. Ah, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now you're in safe hands then if you know him. If you've heard his voice, you're following him. May we be brought to know him, brought to hear his voice. We hear many voices in the earth. There's the voice of Satan. There's the voice of unbelief. And all of these are those voices that lead to destruction. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the voice, you see, of Satan is the voice of hatred, the voice of lies and error. Oh, the voice of the adversary, who is a murderer, is unmerciful. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's full of condemnation. This is not the voice of the Good Shepherd, who came not to condemn, but to save the world. The voice of love, the voice of mercy, the voice of truth, the voice of righteousness. May we be helped then to follow him. And place the whole hope of our salvation in his hands. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Well, may God bless his word this evening. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach for us on Tuesday evening, if he is able, and Mr. Graham Cottingham next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Hymn 983.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.